Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. The lines await you. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Grace. Grace is the subject for this month, and boy, it's a subject that you could never get to the depths to or reach the heights of. Yeah. Why? Because it's a word that's attached to the person of Jesus Christ. There is no grace apart from him. So when we talk about the grace of God, we're really talking about Jesus, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is so important for us to understand. Grace is not a thing. Grace is not a doctrine. Grace is not just something we say, hey, yeah, we believe that, check it off the box and move on. Grace really is the heart and soul of this Christian life. It starts by grace. It's sustained by grace. It's finished by grace. It's mm-hmm. grace from start to finish. So we really need to know what this word means. And I know there's a lot of people that have some basic understandings of the definition of grace. So let's kind of talk a little bit about what those definitions are. What's the most basic definition of the grace of God, Richard?
Well, there's been two of them that I heard growing up. The one that was the most commonly used was grace is God's unmerited favor. Thank you.
You know, yes.
Well, and that's true. It's absolutely true, but it doesn't get to the core of anything. The second one was God's riches at Christ's expense, turning the word grace into an acrostic. God's riches at Christ's expense. That, too, is true. It cost God a lot of things, and it cost him Jesus is what it cost him. And where are the riches? But both of those definitions are kind of way up high. They don't come down and touch me and allow me to change the way I live because it's just so many words. Again, they're true enough for as far as they go, but they don't go far enough. I think there was a phrase that we use in this month's letter called, we said, but there's so much more.
Yes.
That's what we've got to get to, the so much more.
So much more of grace, yes. Yeah, you know, we look at it and we distill it down, and that's what grace is, you know, just at the least common denominator.
Uh-huh.
But it is so much more than that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to explore this whole month, just the height and depth and length and breadth of the grace of God. Yeah. And I hope that folks will come away from this month with a fuller understanding, with a greater appreciation, and can really say in the depths of their heart that grace is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think many of us think of grace in terms of our past, that it's a covering for our past.
Uh-huh.
You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So it looks at my past and covers that over. And yes, grace does that, but it's a word that is about our present, and it's about our future as well. And so we've come up with a definition of the grace of God, and it's simply this, that God is, or God's work in Jesus Christ, so grace is God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and to empower us to live in this world as his children.
Yeah. Okay?
So when we look at the grace of God, you see things in the Word of God that really show it in action. So in Ephesians 2, for example, we know the famous passage, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith.
Uh-huh.
Well, he defines what that is. He tells us what that saving grace is. It is God making us alive who were once dead in sin, making us alive together with Christ. So the first element of grace is God's act in Jesus to make us alive together with him. And then God sends his Spirit to live inside of us, and by grace, he empowers us to live as the children of God that we are, and to say no to temptation, to stand in this world as children of God, and to express love to other people. that's all as a result of the grace of God in our lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about this month, and it's an exciting topic. If you look at theologians, you know, all of the greatest, quote, greatest theologians in the world, most of them, when they got to the end of their lives and were asked, you know, what is the subject that has touched your life the most, that has transformed you most? And without question, without hesitation, they've all said the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, and we've just scratched the tip of the surface, did I say that right?
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, we've just scratched the surface on this. And that's going to be true for all of us. Why? Because grace is attached to Jesus. And we're going to have an eternal experience getting to know him and getting to know the grace that he has given to us.
Friends, do you describe your life as full of joy and peace? Or do you, like so many others, wonder, what am I missing? You long for peace and joy and purpose, but fear, self-effort, anxiety seem to fill your daily life. What's missing is that you're not fully embracing the grace of God. Grace is relevant. It's essential for daily living. It's grace that empowers you, teaches you, and it's this grace that produces joy and peace and purpose. We want to help you experience more of God's grace this month by sending you our brand new CD series called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation to help reach more people around the world with the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply visit basicgospel.net, click donate, and make your best gift today. We'll get that on the way to you immediately. The CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Open lines, 844-322. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, and we're going to go to Alberta and talk with Dan.
So my question today is forgiveness. Does it involve confession? Like, not that I'm in denial, but it's more a case of being ashamed. Thanks.
Interesting question.
Yes,
and
it is.
Certainly, Dan, thank you for calling us and asking that important question. Forgiveness and confession. And a lot of times people think that confession is the means to gain forgiveness. So we confess our sins. Once we confess our sins, quote, repent of those sins, then we receive forgiveness. Well, that's not the economy that God works on. God has established a blood economy as far as sin is concerned.
Yes.
So in the old covenant, when someone sinned, they brought a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, the Day of Atonement. There were animal sacrifices that were made, and that blood was the means for forgiveness. And Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, put it this way, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So when Jesus came into this world, he inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He walked in love. He walked in dependence upon his Father. And at the end, he was perfect. And so he became that unblemished Lamb of God, and he offered himself once for all to take away the sins of the world. So he presented his blood to the Father, and the Father accepted the blood on our behalf as payment, total payment for all of our sins. So forgiveness really is tied to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we know we need forgiveness when we agree with God that we're sinners and that we have sins. And when we turn to Christ by faith, we receive forgiveness of sins. So once you have forgiveness of sins, you have it. It is yours. As Paul wrote, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Acts, Peter said to Cornelius and his family, the prophets testify that all who receive him, who believe on his name, receives forgiveness of sins. So the moment we believe, we receive forgiveness of sins. That's good news. Yeah. So we stand before God as forgiven people. So it's not something that now every time we sin, we need to get forgiveness for that particular sin, and then the next day get more forgiveness, and then the next day more forgiveness. No, Christ shed his blood once for all sin. So if we needed more forgiveness, we could confess all we wanted, but that isn't going to bring about more forgiveness because God has already established that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So if we needed more forgiveness, then Christ would have to come back and die again. Well, he died once, one time for all sin. He's not gonna die again. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says that he is, when he comes back, he's not coming back to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who await him. So forgiveness is tied to the shed blood of Christ. If you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank the Lord for that, because that is a gift of grace.
Yeah, and amazingly, that's what deals with the shame that he mentioned at the very end. When you acknowledge that you're already forgiven, and therefore you can hand everything that you've been hiding straight over to Jesus, the shame goes away. It's replaced by joy and peace.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is so important for us to understand, and this really ties to what we're talking about this mm-hmm. month as far as the grace of God is concerned. I mean, it's by his grace that we receive forgiveness of sins. So it's not something that we could earn or merit. So we could make promises, we can pray, we can do all of these things. We can confess until we're blue in the face. But that doesn't bring about forgiveness. It is a gift of grace that has come to us through the shed blood of Jesus. So we have it. We have this grace of God. Now, one of the reasons that we're so frightened when we sin as believers is because we're not sure that punishment has been dealt out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jesus shed his blood. Well, what does that mean? He actually took our punishment for us. So the punishment that we deserve for each and every sin that we will ever commit, have committed, has already been dealt out. Jesus took it for us. So when we realize that the justice thing has been taken care of, the books of justice have already been balanced in Christ, that frees us to really look at sin in an objective way. We don't have to fear punishment. We can actually say, Lord, I messed up. I don't know why, so I need your help. I need your grace. I need your mercy in my time of need, and that's what you get. So the books of justice have already been balanced. You stand before God as a forgiven person, as a gift of grace, and that way you can actually trust him to work in and through you in your time of need.
Absolutely. Well, 844-322-2742 is available right now, and literally it's available 24 hours a day. And we would love for you to pose a question to us if you can get to the phone while we're actually on the air live at 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Thursday, actually Monday through Friday, but of course Friday is our study series. We would encourage you to record a call and record a question, and we would love to address it like we're about to do right now for David, who called from California.
Hi, this is David calling, and I just got a question about the parable of the talents on Matthew 25:16. I was just wondering that when we're saved, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as sinners and we are saved by his blood, I was just wondering and asking, well, he's talking about the unprofitable servant being cast into hell. Will that mean if we mess up or if we don't serve the Lord very well, will we be rejected when we go to heaven? Will he send us straight back down to hell even after we're saved? I just got some concerns about that. And I heard that we're sealed till the day of redemption of the purchased possession. But I just have some concerns about that. Thank you. Bye.
It's a concerning issue.
Yes, it is a concerning issue. And does the parable of the talents talk about a person's salvation? Do we draw doctrine from that particular parable as far as assurance of salvation is concerned? And I think the answer to that is no. I think we look into some of the letters that Paul wrote, that Peter wrote, that the writer of Hebrews wrote, and there we're going to see the explanation of what it means to be saved, and we're going to see the explanation of our salvation in terms of completeness, totality, eternal. So we can take from those things that when we're saved forever. When Christ makes us alive together with him, that's a forever transaction. For us to lose our life, our eternal life, Christ would have to lose his. And that's not going to happen. No. He conquered sin and death once and for all. And because he lives, we live. And we need to recognize that. And we're guaranteed this salvation because Jesus dealt with the thing that killed us to begin with, sin. He did that at the cross once and for all. So that's been handled. So now that we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, he deals with us in a completely different manner as his children. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be with him forever. He is with us now. He's promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we are absent from the body, we're going to be present with him forever. That's the good news. That's what this salvation is all about. That's why it's a by grace through faith in Jesus proposition. We can't earn that. That's what God has done for us. So our salvation is secure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This is one of those passages that is misused, much like Hebrews 6 and 10 are misused. This isn't about, oh, you've been given a task to do or a talent, you know, like I can play the piano. So if I don't play the piano really well, am I going to be lost? This is about faith.
Yes.
The unfaithful servant absolutely did not believe the master. So if you're going to make this into any kind of salvation passage, then say, believe the master. God has initiated all this month grace. He has initiated this grace to us. Accept it. Walk in it by faith. Move ahead. But to take this little piece of bad news and say, you know, if you don't straighten up and fly right, God's going to whack you. That's completely wrong.
Right. And it's interesting. The first two servants, one was given 5 talents, mm-hmm. the other 2 talents. And they believed their master, and they went out and made something of those. Mm-hmm. So they operated in faith. The third one, who was just given 1, when the master came back, he said, I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. That's the key thing right here. That is the operative phrase. The one with the 1 talent was afraid, and his fear motivated him to do what he did, and that was to hide the talent in the ground so he could give that talent back when the master came. The other two operated in faith. They didn't let fear, and they may have been frightened. They may have been scared. I mean, to take a step of faith is a courageous thing, mm-hmm. and we have to muster up all sorts of courage to move that foot forward in faith. It is easier to shrink back into fear.
Yes.
So it's not that those first two may have been scared on the inside, but they did not let their fear motivate them. They operated in faith. They had a trusting heart. This third one was afraid, and he allowed fear to be the motivating factor. And that's not what God is looking for. He is looking for people who are willing to trust him. And I think this is a story that indicates that.
Well, David, thanks for your call. Hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. Friends, how do you describe your life? Is it filled with joy and peace? Or do you, like countless others, wonder, what am I missing? Well, if you long for peace and joy and purpose, but each day is filled with fear and anxiety, you're not fully embracing the grace of God. Grace is relevant, and it's essential for daily living. It is grace that empowers you and teaches you, and it is grace that produces joy and peace and purpose. And we'd like to help you experience more of God's grace by sending you our brand new CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation to help Basic Gospel reach more people around the world with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Simply visit basicgospel.net, click donate, and we'll say thanks with your copy of Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Tim, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just had a thought that, you know, we talk about grace, and sometimes we don't put the emphasis on it or the importance of it or what it really costs God to provide that for us. And I, you know, everybody's familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then another familiar passage is when Jesus saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. And can you guys kind of talk about how God's love and compassion and then his mercy leads to the availability of grace?
Well, Tim, that's a great question. Yeah. We know from the Word of God that God is love. That's his nature. That's his essence. And he demonstrated that love for us. He made a choice to reach down and save us. And so in that, he showed us his unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to warrant that. So all of these things tie together, don't they? They go hand in glove. So his compassion, I mean, he certainly looked down on us and saw us in our pitiful condition. And he was moved to do something on our behalf. Mercy, we needed mercy. And it's interesting, throughout the gospel accounts, we constantly seeing people cry out to Jesus for mercy. And in Romans, we see Paul using something that God said to Moses when he passed by, showed Moses his glory. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So mercy sometimes is defined as grace in action. So all of these things really tie together, but I think they fit under this umbrella of grace. God is love, and then all of these actions really fit under this umbrella that we know of as grace. Grace really is the heart and soul of the Christian life. So we receive mercy because God is a graceful God. We receive forgiveness because God is a graceful God.
Yes, and the point I wanted to make is it's just not something that just appeared and it's there. It cost God an immense amount to provide it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, without the death of Christ, there wouldn't be this new covenant of grace. So, yes, God gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus suffered and died. It was an agonizing death. He experienced that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, in his own soul as the human Jesus. That was the agony. He sweat great drops of blood. And so, yes, this grace was not without cost, but it was his cost. And in so doing, he was able to show us his favor.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you're so welcome, Tim. We certainly appreciate your call. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's quickly go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad. We've got about 50 seconds left.
Hey, thanks for picking up. One thing that helped me get my arms around this grace of being Jesus was that when I looked at the scripture that you guys talked about, that Jesus was full of grace and truth, 99 out of 100 people I talked to say grace is just God's unmerited favor. And thinking that way, you would have to say that Jesus was full of God's unmerited favor. I don't think so. He did have merited favor. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Brad. We sure appreciate it. But yes, grace is tied to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus earned our standing before him, and he graciously gave us that standing. He took our sins so that in him we might receive the righteousness of God. Yeah. That's what the grace of God is all about.
Yeah, and we'll pose that question one more time, friends. Do you describe your life as full of joy and peace, or do you, like so many others, wonder, what am I missing? If you long for peace, joy, and purpose, well, you know, fear, self-effort, anxiety, if that's what fills your life, you're missing the grace of God. You're not fully embracing what he has offered us in Jesus Christ. Grace is relevant. It's essential for daily living. Grace empowers you, it teaches you, and it is grace that produces joy and peace and purpose. We want to help you experience the fullness of God's grace by sending you our brand new CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation to help reach more people around the world with the love and grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simply click basicgospel.net, click that donate link there on that particular page, and give your best gift today. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.